tonight, I want us to look at a topic, worthless religion. Worthless religion. Now, all of my congregation has heard me say many times that there's a difference between religion and our Christianity. So what I wanted to do tonight, I've got it printed out for us. I want you to see the definitions and why that I will say that. Now, the definition in Webster's for religion is the service and worship of a god or multiple gods or of the supernatural. Now, there's a lot of religious non-believing organizations out there. So when I make the distinction between Christianity is not a religion for me or for Christians, it's a relationship. So here's why I wanted to give you the definition of them. So you'll see, I gave that to you of the religion. Now look at the definition of a relationship. The character of being related or interrelated, a connection by way of relation. Is that not Christianity? Our Christianity is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, the secular world, or even we will say, are you religious? Well, I say, no, I'm not very religious at all. I am a Christian. I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, in doing that, you all think about this. Sometimes that is a great door that you can open for someone. Now, and it's not something that you go, no, I don't do it. You go with a heart of love, and you say, well, I see myself as having a relationship with Jesus Christ rather than religion. Religious could be anything. It can be worshiping the radiators, worshiping rats or cows or any of this other. Multiple gods. We don't. We have one God. One God, one Spirit. Therefore, He sent His Son so we could have a relationship with our God. Many people who would count themselves as being extremely religious were the Pharisees and the Sadducees of the day of Christ. Jesus goes in and He preaches. They condemn Jesus, not because he wasn't preaching Isaiah. He was. But they condemned Jesus because Jesus said, today this prophecy has been fulfilled in your sight. But I have to chuckle at that because as you're reading it, you find out Jesus folds the scroll or rolls the scroll and hands it back. And as He's walking out, and it's sort of like they're standing back there saying, you know, that, well, actually it does say that He did good. He did real good. Then they started thinking, wait a minute, He's saying that He is the Christ. And so the religious folk didn't have the relationship with the God that they were so religious over. To be religious, how many times will you see individuals, and this is idolatry as well as any other idolatry, who will worship the book, the Bible, instead of the author, right? Okay, or who will worship an emblem? But let me get into that. When you're talking about, you know, I've heard people say you don't wear crosses because Jesus says that you're not to make unto yourself any graven image of God. Okay, what's He talking about? He says He didn't say that you couldn't wear a cross. He didn't say make any of that kind of stuff. What He was saying was, do not make that symbol your God. Don't make the book called the Bible be your God, because that book is not your God. So, and as Jesus is trying, why don't we get a little common sense going in Christianity, the religion will kill us once again. Remember, Paul goes back to Corinth, another church. He said, what are you people doing? You know you're free from all these rules, and you jump right back into it. So it was a continual twist for him to get people out of religion and back to a relationship. Now listen to Ephesians 1:5. God decided in advance to adopt us. into his own family. How? By bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. So that means that you and I are going to go to God as a child of God through Jesus Christ. We're going to have faith in Christ, and the faith that we have in believing that Jesus is who he says he is. Then when we make that commitment, we are adopted. Now, if I am adopted, does that not mean then that I am related to Christ? Now, many people say, no, it's got to be biological. Blood, about, well, okay, then fine. Let me tell you something. When I said yes to Jesus, I got myself a blood transfusion, meaning that the blood of Christ now runs through my vein through faith. All right. I just wanted you all to have that so you'd see when I make those statements as to why it does. James 1:26. This is worthless religion. If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Yeah, got to watch the tongue. That tongue will destroy you. This is a spiritual, terrifying statement, isn't it? Because it cuts to the heart of the self-satisfied religious. All right. Now, they can't be a Christian because look at them. Look how they're acting. And Jesus turns around and says, look how you're acting. I don't want to look how. I want to see how Norm's acting. I want to nail Norm. And the Holy Spirit's saying, you and Norm are nailed. Got it? Okay. An out of control tongue is a sign of a false religion. Okay. An out of control tongue is a sign of a false religion. Here's the out of control tongue. The out of control tongue tells you that, well, I'm a Christian and I believe that Jesus died for me. But now if someone else over there professes that they're a Christian, And they believe that they're going the other way other than Jesus, you got an out-of-control tongue, meaning you're not telling the truth. The out-of-control tongue is a focus. You fly off the handle at one another. You get angry. You say things you wished you hadn't have said. You'll find in a second that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about those who put it to their heart. That tongue is out of control. The individuals who is always looking for something negative. You know, you can walk in and say, yeah, Jesus loves you. And then that negative person stands up and says, yes, but Satan is the one that is trying to direct my life now. So you would think if Jesus loved me, why would he not take care of Satan and all of that garbage? Okay, be careful with the out of control tongue. It's a sign of a false religion. If a person tells you any other way other than Christ, that's a false religion. That's not Christianity. The true test of an individual's spirituality is not in their ability to speak, but rather in their ability to bridle their tongue. You ever tried a whole wall of wood? Oh, man, is it slippery. I don't care. You can... But that tongue will keep going. You can bite that tongue and you still hear remarks coming out of your mouth on it. Matthew 12:33-37. Make a tree good. Now listen to this. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. Now listen to what Jesus says, because I've heard many people say, that's not a Christian statement that he's making. Listen to this. Tell Jesus he's not making a Christian statement. Well, okay, here's what Jesus says. You brood of vipers, can you believe he just called us a snake? And he called us a snake, and a Christian would never talk like that. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. And the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Okay, give you a little class on that statement from Jesus. At the final judgment, what he was talking about, the judgment, not the judgment seat of Christ, but the great white throne judgment. That's where those non-believers are judged great white throne. Thank you, ma'am. Okay. Here was the problem with that. And a lot of people say, well, God is a just God. Yes, he is. And God says, you will have judged yourself. See, the judgment brought against people who are non-believing, every idle word that they have ever spoken is going to come up. Their judgment is going to be their own words. The ones who have accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, the Christians, we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. What does Jesus do before he presents us to the Father? He takes all that garbage, because we gave it to him, and he burns it. And he presents us spotless before the Father. Well, if you don't have a Savior that's going to cleanse you before you get to the Father, then you're going to be at the great white throne judgment. And all of those words, aren't you thankful that Jesus is burning a lot of the statements we've made in the past? Aren't you glad he's still burning them today, even as we walk continually in the world he called us to? Okay. Everyone at some time or another falls into this sin. So this does not mean that everyone's religion is worthless. The focus is on the habitually unbridled tongue. How do you want to get word out in Washington? Tell anybody. What was it? Telephone, telegraph, tell Bob? You remember, the focus is on the habitually unbridled tongue, meaning a tongue that is always vicious. He who talks to you today about someone will talk to someone about you tomorrow, right? Okay. Do you have a relationship to God through Jesus Christ, or do you practice a religion? That's the question. Do you have a relationship with Christ, or do you have a religion? Okay, we need to make some solemn resolutions. Here's what they're going to be. To focus on self-discipline regarding the use of our tongue. You ready? Let us resolve to perpetually, continually, and lovingly, continually, speak the truth in love. Okay? Larry, I love you. Well, you're getting fat, boy. You got to lose some weight. Now, that was my doctor said that part. But you think of it. If you're going to tell somebody the truth, don't hit them over the head with the truth. I mean, you talk about and they said, well, the truth hurts. Well, I am obligated as a Christian to share with you the truth without the hurt. And how do you do that? I don't know. It's according to what situation you're in. Well, preacher, am I supposed to lie when my wife asks me something about how she looks and I don't think it looks pretty good? I said, if you're ever going to lie, that'd be time to do it. You better believe it. That would be the time to do it. So what you're doing is you're doing it out of love. But you are truthful with someone. They come and say, well, you're condemning my belief, my religion. No, I'm not. I want you to know that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, loves you. I believe in the Bible. And because I believe in the Bible, I am with love in my heart to deliver the Word of God. And it's delivered through love, not through bitterness. And whosoever will, let him come. It's open to anyone. But sometimes we don't do it in love, the truth. Well, the truth is you're going to split hell wide open. That was not a statement in love, right? Because if I believe that someone's going to split hell wide open, then in love I will do everything that I possibly can to take that person under my wing and to do everything I can to make sure that they hear the gospel. It is not my words that will win them. It is the Spirit of Christ that will do that. Ephesians 4, 14 and 15. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. Okay, we have to grow in Christ. But do not be critical when you see someone or you know you're with someone that is not, has not grown in Christ. Maybe they haven't been fed the proper food or the nourishment, the Christian word to have grown. You do not then pass judgment on them, nor do you lord over them that you know more scriptures than they know. What do you do? One of the greatest blessings you'll ever have in life, Christian, is to take a hit for somebody else. I will take the blame when I see a kid was out of line and the parent saw the kid. I knew the parent would whip the kid. I knew the parent was going to grab, yank him, and all of this kind of stuff. I stepped in front and I said, oh, that was my fault. I'm the one that started all that and got it in it. I knew what was going to happen. And I said, now, so any punishment you were going to give him, you need to give to me because he didn't do it on his own. And to see the smile on that kid's face, but you do that throughout life. How do you get people that always are watching your back? Those are the individuals that know that you're always going to take up for them even when they're wrong. Preacher, you would take up for somebody when they're wrong? Yes, I will. When you put an individual who's done something wrong and you put him out here and then you separate yourself from him instead of going by scripture saying through love, I will help you, but I won't put up with the wrong stuff, but I will help you get on your right feet. When you do that, you please God. But you keep pushing them out and they're going to give up. You see, unless you've grown in the Spirit and become adult in Scripture, the condemnation you will give to everyone else will destroy them. But also, okay, what if you do that to a certain segment? As I've dealt with the criminal element all these years, what if, though, that I've won a murderer, a rapist, or whatever to Christ, and then when they get out, I still help them? Does that not mean then that another child's not going to get harmed because that one person is out of the way? Well, that's only one. That only one means a lot to whoever the child was that they were going to rape. It means a lot to whoever was going to get murdered in that family, right? That's our obligation. Resolve to refrain from being party to or a conduit for gossip. Now, you all never hear me mentioning gossip. But don't be a conduit for gossip. Gossip. What is gossip? Actually, the true meaning of it would be talking about something that I can neither help to change nor I was involved in. Talking about something that I can neither can help to change, nor was I involved in it. Gosh. And what it ends up being was, let me tell you what you need to do with your life. When somebody tells you that, get away from them. Because it's obvious they failed in their life, and they won't tell somebody else how to do it. Right? Okay. Now, when you give scripture, when you're going to live, do it in love. Except there's a lot of ways of getting the word across rather than beating somebody upside the head with the Bible. God never intended that. Let's grow with them. If they're down in the ditch of life, then get down there. And let's slowly protect them as you grow up. And I can assure you that it makes all heaven happy to see the church really being the church. Yes, ma'am.
That's like just if we would consider the golden rule about doing unto others as you would have them do unto you, I wouldn't want somebody to come up to me and smack me upside the head with the Bible or try to show.
Oh, I'd hate to see that aftermath of that myself. Yeah.
But you know, you need to treat other people the way you would like to be treated.
That you do. But think of it this way. And she's saying the golden rule, you want to treat others like you'd want to be treated. But here's where we are in our generation. Now, straighten me out if I'm wrong. We're in a generation that I'm going to treat you the way I was treated growing up. Because I don't know the right way to be treated. Think of that. We're in a society of individuals that have, nobody raised them. They just grew up. And you have them. No moral standing within the family. No love. Nobody feeling safe at home. Folks, our children are being destroyed simply because the family is torn all to pieces. And I don't care how much they push marriage of the same sex and all this other stuff. You're destroying the family. You destroy the family. You destroy the church. You destroy the church. You destroy the nation. And that's a fact. And you and I are seeing it. Is it not then our obligation to take children in here? Because I remember the day after I got here, I said, those kids aren't paying their way. Let's not go get them. I remember that well when I got here. And I saw what they were talking about. They didn't pay their way. They couldn't. They didn't have anything to pay their way with. They're the family. And yet, this could be the only face of Christ they see. And when they come here, they get to go to children's church. So therefore, you know that they're just slobbered all over in children's church. And they get to, be around people that will hug them, that will love them. Even though they get up, you get a few up there that decide with the potty mouth and all this other. Well, wonder where they got it from. Well, they got it from other kids. Well, wonder where they got it from. You know, so let's be careful with them, because the raising of children today is not like it was when our generation grew up. You know, did y'all ever stop to think that we're getting ready to turn everything over to the generation behind us? Norm, did you get the stats on how many veterans commit suicide every day? Did y'all hear that? 22. Yeah. 22 veterans kill themselves every day. Isn't that sad? 22 per day. Is there something broken in this country? And it started with the family. Teaching kids. And what about the school the other day? National deal came out on it where they wanted to, the boys in, it was children. I can't remember what grade. But the boys need to come dressed as girls so they could feel what the girls felt like. Y'all see that? Yeah, it was a whole deal on that's what they were pushing. I heard O'Reilly on it from Fox News, and he was going nuts with it. And I said, Hunter, what would you say if your mama told you you're going to go to school dressed as a girl today? Ain't happening, Papa. Ain't happening. But think of that. And they're wanting, well, let's force on these children what it feels like to be a girl. Well, they're not a girl. They're boys. How about allowing them to be male boys and female girls? Oh, gosh. Do you all see the headlines on the newspaper today where Servants Valley and one other church, I don't know which one it was, Rhineyville. We already had done that, but on the Boy Scouts. And why? Because it's non-biblical. Homosexuality is not biblical, meaning it is not a moral act. So how can you support them as a church? Okay, Proverbs 16:28, a perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. Huh? Boy, you've seen that many times, haven't you? Older we get, the more we can look at these scriptures. Proverbs 17:9, if we keep getting any older, we won't be able to see them. He who covers over an offense promotes love. You got it? Okay, Josh messes up. I go over and said, Josh, let's do it this way. You protect him. He who covers over an offense promotes love. See, Josh loves me, and I didn't even have to do that with him. But whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. What do? You help somebody out of something, they come back, and then they're doing the same thing over and over again. Okay, do you not forgive over and over again? Yeah, you do, but you don't become stupid with it. You don't allow that to control your life or destroy anything with in your family. Proverbs 26, verse 20, without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. Resolve to refrain from running down others. Resolve to refrain from running down. These are resolutions you're making. James 4, verse 11. Brothers, do not slander one another. Here's what was going on there. Now, remember the book of James. James is a half-brother of Jesus. But James was almost legalistic. See, James still had that legal part of him. Interestingly enough about him, James didn't believe that his brother, half-brother Jesus, was the Christ until after the resurrection. They thought he was nuts. His own brothers did. Okay, so James is saying, brothers, do not slander one another. It was Christians nailing Christians. Why? Well, look at them. They're on that corner, and we're on this corner. Well, that's enough. You know, and all of this kind of stuff. And it was the whole world going to hell in a handbasket while Christians are sitting around arguing about which church they're going to. How about which Savior is in your heart? And forget all of it. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. Now, there James is. He's going back, though, to his Jewish roots, traditions here. When you judge the law, you're not keeping it, but setting in judgment on it. That was just, they were, Paul told them that they were devouring one another. It wasn't, they didn't have to worry about, okay, look, today, anybody on the outside can attack this church, they're in a mess. Satan doesn't do that. He does it from within. Starts all of the false type of doctrine and moves it in from Sunday school class to another, and you got it. Resolve to refrain from malicious hypocrisy. Now, I told you all the other day when when I said, well, how many hypocrites do we have, and nobody, and your pastor raised his hand. What I was saying was, we as parents, we as pastors, I am called by God to preach His word. So I preach His truth. There's the human hypocrisy in that is that I am no more able to keep from slipping than anybody else is. Yet I am preaching, don't you do this. We tell our kids, don't you do that. Little as hypocrites, because how do we know? Because we did it and we remember the bad happened. So is that not hypocrisy? Sure it is from the human standpoint. But malicious hypocrisy. Let's listen to Proverbs 26, 24, 28. Last verses. A malicious man disguises himself with his lips. I thought you ought to like that. But in his heart he harbors deceit. Though his speech is charming, do not believe him. I've heard that somewhere. Though his speech is charming, do not believe him. For seven abominations fill his heart. Seven, perfect number, meaning all kinds of garbage, right? his malice way, his malice may be concealed by deception, but his wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. He may say one thing, but the assembly, when you get it around, you all know who's a Christian just by, do I know that you're a Christian? I don't know. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God incarnate? That he is who he said he is? If somebody, when you say that and they say, well, I believe he was a very good man, came out, that's not the Christian. I know that Jesus is God. And I know that he is who he says he is. That way you will know the Christian from the non. If a man digs a pit, he'll fall into it. It has been a blessing for me over the years in the battles fought back and forth during that ministry over there with jails and prison, of how many times pits were dug for me, and the people themselves fell into it. If you will serve the Lord, and don't get too cocky with it. If a man rolls a stone, it will roll back on him. A lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruins. Oh, Brother Larry, you're just the greatest person. Well, right then I know they're lying, because I know me better than they know me. But you think about that kind of stuff, you know. Oh, Chaplain Vance, you're the best chaplain we've ever had here. You know, at the beginning of my chaplaincy, I thought I really was. And then I realized they told every one of them the same thing to get something out of them.